There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you're at a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's The Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is The Smiley Show.
All right, guys, happy to welcome in Mr. Robert McIntyre. Of course, most of us call Robert Bob. For Bob, I mean, how often when you get over to the States are people calling you Rob and Bob? For you, what do you prefer to go by?
Yeah, I get loads when I come over here. Bobby Mac is probably the favorite.
I love Bobby Mac.
Yeah, but back home, I just get called Bob. All my friends call me Bob. If I do something wrong, someone will maybe shout Robert at me. So, yeah, I'm fairly chilled out with many things.
Man, we've probably been doing this podcast for probably about three and a half years now. So we've been, you know, covering everything from the DP World Tour to the PGA Tour. When you started kind of making waves and especially getting over here to the PGA Tour, Charlie and I were constantly, you know, referring to you as Bobby Mac and Cheese, and it just kind of just rolled off the tongue. And dude, it's so funny now, Bob, because now my 3.5-year-old daughter, she'll be watching golf because she's most of the time either listening for my voice or trying to find me on the TV. But she'll always ask my wife, she'll say, is Bobby Mac and Cheese playing? You are her favorite player. So I don't know if you take pride in that, but I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, Mac and Cheese. Yeah, that's one of the favorites as well out there.
But do you like that one or no?
Doesn't faze, honestly. A lot of people think certain shouts will annoy me, but I mean, I think Victor Hovland said it a while ago about the thoughts that we say to ourselves, the things we say to ourselves in our own heads is far more annoying, far more aggressive than what people can shout. So
it's, I hear that. This crazy game.
Sometimes it's actually funny. Sometimes you hear a new one and you go, look over and go, you know, that was a good one.
You got to tip the cap.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't worry too much about the shouts or, I mean, Bob, Robert, Bobby Mac and Cheese.
All right.
Yeah, just trying to have a bit of laugh.
All right, so Bob, we're talking to you before the FedEx St. Jude. When this episode is going to drop, it's going to be middle of the BMW Championship. So hopefully you're lifting the trophy, and we'll have something else to talk about next week for a couple minutes, hopefully to get you on with a big trophy. But you're in Memphis this week. I just looked at the forecast, Bob. There's no rain. That's a positive for Memphis, but we're seeing, you know, some record high temperatures. We're seeing 100 degrees. Humidity is going to be through the roof. Bob, you're from Scotland, man. Like, when you see temperatures like that, does that scare you now? Like when you see this type of humidity, I mean, you've got to hate playing weather like this, right?
Just like home, is it not? Nah, it's torture, to be honest. But I don't think anyone's good in that weather. I don't think it's... I mean, I was there in Orlando just the last couple of days doing a little training camp with the team, and I mean, it was roasting. And I mean, I'm certainly not physically built for hot weather and that stuff. But yeah, my skin, I mean, I'm so pale, factor 50 plus, sun, like as much protection as I can. I mean, it's just, it's hard. But yeah, I've changed quite a lot, and I've changed grips and everything for playing in the PGA Tour because it's so hot most of the year. Went to the Kangaroo, the Grip Masters, the tacky ones, because I just used to, just my hands are just, I just sweat like mad.
Okay, so you know, you played most of your golf, of course, growing up in Scotland, playing on the DP World Tour. What were your first impressions like when you came over here in the States and played for the first time with the golf courses, just the culture over here in the States and the style of golf? Did you feel like your game, you know, transferred over here to the style of golf that we kind of see over here in the States?
Yeah, well, I was lucky. I played a year and a half in college at McNeese State, which kind of opened my eyes to the grain, just Bermuda grass. So I kind of knew what to expect. But actually, when my last probably year and a half as an amateur, I changed my whole ball flight because I was wanting to be a professional golfer. I used to hit it low for playing in Scotland. The majority of us amateurs do back home. So I literally changed the way I flighted the ball or changed my game because of what I was wanting to do. I was wanting to be a professional golfer. And then when I came over here, it was just like, I'd played a lot of WGCs and majors, so it wasn't as much of a shock when I came over here onto the PGA Tour, but it was still like playing in Bermuda. Just, I mean, I still hit some chip shots and I go, I don't even know how to hit that. It does the complete opposite of what you're trying to do, but I think it's the best grass type for a test of golf. Because it rewards you if you hit the fairway and then you hit the green. Whereas if you miss the fairway in Bermuda, it's like, right, how are we making four? How are we making par?
You know, I grew up in the South, so I grew up on Bermuda grass, which I think it helped me in a lot of different ways, especially just with around the green and being able to, I think it made me a much better pitcher of the golf ball where I went on a different grass, and it never really felt as difficult, especially playing out of heavier stuff. But how about us, Bob? You and I both went to college in Louisiana. So you have to have, you know, that first impression of just eating some spicy Cajun food, right? Like, what was the first time you ate some crawfish and somebody had to teach you how to peel crawfish?
Yeah, I'm not a big seafood guy, but like a few of my mates, one of the boys actually just won the Louisiana Madame.
Oh yeah, who's that?
The other day, Shane Fontenot.
Okay.
He's from Lake Charles and yeah, he's a big hunter, loves to go shooting, fishing, you name it. And I'm like, guy from the west coast of Scotland, man, we like fly fishing and sitting back and chilling out, and he's like not hunting, shooting, fishing. But no, I love the food over there, like boudin balls. That was one of my favorites. We used to play the country club at Lake Charles, and on the 17th hole, whoever had it the closest would have to jump over and go to the like gas station, petrol station we call it, and get the boudin balls in for the group. So yeah, it was.
Love it.
I really enjoyed it. I learned so much by going there, and yeah, I just had to grow up.
You know, it was a bit of a culture shock for me too. Like, I grew up in Alabama, and Alabama, Louisiana, especially where I went, in Birmingham, it's kind of more of a metro town. Louisiana, it was just totally different. Like, just driving down the road, Bob, and I'm passing just like a drive-through daiquiri station. I'm like, this is just so bizarre. Like, I've never. See, like, we don't have like stuff like that in Alabama, and just the culture is so interesting. And you know, outside of just the food, I mean, what was your experience like for that year and a half in McNeese State? I mean, I'm sure that you have some memories that you like to forget, and some that are just like, man, those were the good old days.
Yeah, it was just it was different. I mean, I grew up in a small town in the west coast of Scotland.
Mm-hmm. How the heck did you end up there?
I was a decent amateur golfer in Scotland. Won all the way through the ranks, kind of just progressed nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had in my head, right, I'm going to do 2 years. I was from a regular family, no, just working class, nothing flash, and two older sisters that my mum and dad and my two sisters sacrificed so much to give me a chance. And had a plan. I'm going to do 2 years. Hopefully I'm good enough. Play Walker Cup, turn pro, and then hope for the best. And all the American college coaches come over and watch the European team championship, boys' European teams. And it's
like the big trial for you guys, right?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I remember the games against like Victor and just all the top European guys will have played in that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they all came over and they're watching you, and I was hopeless in school, I'll be honest. Hopeless. Absolutely hated it. And I just got a message one day from Austin Burke, who was a coach at McNeese at the time, and asked me, would I be interested? I'm like, look, I've not even thought about it. And he's like, what would it take for you to come? And I was just blatantly honest. From a regular family, couldn't afford to spend a lot of money on it. I was like, well, I'd probably need a full scholarship to even think about it. And comes back to me the next day and he says, it's on the table, there you go. And I'm like, wow. I spoke to mum and dad and they're like, well, you'll probably regret this. If you don't make it in golf and you haven't tried this out, you'll have a bit of regret. So they said, go and try it for 6 months and mm-hmm. see how it goes, or the first semester. So I went there, I was a big amount homesick, big time. And mm-hmm. I was just wanting home, but my golf was progressing. So I said to them when I came home for Christmas time, I'm like, I don't want to go back. And they're like, no, come on, your golf, you're progressing, you're doing the right things. It's just a comfort thing. I was just want to go home, be with my pals. And
that's normal for freshmen though, at anywhere that you go when you leave home.
Yeah. And then
you're just way away from home.
Yeah, I managed to stick it out for pretty much a year and a half. And I think it was brilliant. Just the way that I had to grow up. I was living at home with my parents. They'd cook, clean. I mean, they would do everything for you apart from wipe your so it was a big thing that I learned how to cook, live myself, clean, just everything that you have to do in life, manage your money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I see it as just, I just grew up in that year and a half.
Well, I read so much about just your background of really, I mean, of course, golf was something that you played, but it seems like you loved playing so many other sports growing up, Bob. Yeah. And the one that is definitely, I was talking to Sepp Strock on the range yesterday. I was like, hey, we're getting Bob on the show. He was like, what should I ask you about? Like, this guy loves shinty. I was like, what is shinty? And so I immediately went home, Googled shinty, and started watching just some film. And then I started going on Google, as we can see on here. Charlie's pulled up a picture of you. It looks like, I mean, throw on your golf stuff, man. This is exactly what your golf swing looks like, man. There seems to be some translation in how you swing. It looks very field hockey-ish. Is that safe to say? Just like, is it basically that's what it is?
If people ask me what it, I'd say it's field hockey with no rules.
Oh, I love that. Is there not even a ref? You call your own fouls.
There's a referee, but I mean, it's full swing, full contact. It's a Highland sport in the west and north of Scotland. I absolutely love it.
What's the ball like? Is it really like dense? Like, is it something that you have to hit hard? Or like, is it something that you can kind of control?
Yeah, you can control it. Have you ever seen a hurley ball, a hurling ball? Shane plays.
I'm familiar with like a lacrosse ball. Have you seen those wax balls?
So it's like a...
Because I've looked at the size of it, but I just couldn't feel, you know, if it was super heavy, I feel like that wouldn't be something.
No, it's reasonably light. So like a goalkeeper could hit it, like you do, like a Laurie Davis taking a big divot, tee the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goalkeeper will hit it probably about, I want to say about 90 yards, 80, 90 yards. So it's reasonably light.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's 80, reasonably light.
Yards?
Yeah. Reasonably holy light. Moly. And it's got cork around it.
Okay.
I remember going into the physio track quite a few times, and because I still play it from time to time. And
how often do you play the shirt?
I've played a few times.
Love that so much. I love it.
But you come off and you're just battered and bruised. You're just it's probably not the smartest thing, but
what hurts worse is it. You know, potentially going for a ball and you know, just, one of those tackle situations.
Yeah.
Or I mean, inadvertently getting hit by one of these. Is it called a shinty ball? What is it called?
Yeah.
So is it getting hit by a shinty ball? Probably wouldn't feel very good, would it?
No. I mean, getting hit by the stick would feel worse.
The stick is the word.
But
okay.
you've obviously got, you've got the stick there to defend yourself as well. Like
yeah,
block or cleek or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, when you're defending and someone's taking a shot at goal and you're trying to get in the way of it and it's in some places it's not good. It just leaves a massive, massive bruise. It stings for a wee second in most areas, and then you go chasing it again.
All right, so what position would you play in Shinty? I imagine you'd be somebody who'd be a forward to where who's going to be a goal scorer. Is that kind of
not anymore? I used to be growing. I used to be decent when I was young, mm-hmm. But then I kind of lost my bit of speed.
That's the Bobby Mac and Cheese. Now, yeah. Now they start calling you Bobby Mac and Cheese on the pitch, huh?
Yeah. So I used to be kind of middle of the park, more to the forward line, but now, I'm probably more a defender, just try and stop people the best I can.
Yeah.
Taking them down and just.
What do you like to play? Like, if it was your preference
I'd be up front or middle of the park. I'd be middle of the park probably if I had a choice and I was. Every now and again, I'll play middle of the park, but yeah. I mean, after 90 minutes, I can't walk.
All right, so you wear a helmet, so you're protecting your eyes here. Are you wearing any
right hand?
So is that kind of just protecting, like, is that a follow through thing?
It's more like, so if someone's taking a full swing, like a golf swing at you,
yeah,
and you're standing,
you hooked that one right there, man, you flipped it,
and you're standing kind of right on line with the target,
yeah,
you go in, so you'll, the closer you are to the swing,
yeah,
to the body, the less sore it'll be. So if someone's swinging a stick or someone's swinging a golf club at 100 mile an hour, mm-hmm. and you're going to get hit by one part of that, mm-hmm. You want to be hit by the hands.
Yeah.
So you got to get in as close as you can so that you use your stick to kind of block their stick. It's like stick on stick collision, but then you're in close and it just, yeah, that's kind of, if you're out of reach,
yep.
The reason I wear the glove is because if you're out of reach, it can run right up the, right up your stick and smash your hands, oh, and that's, man. Why. I would only do it with that one hand.
Are they always running pickup games? Like these look like real jerseys here. Like they're,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a summer sport now, but it's every Saturday. There's leagues, like there's Premiership, National, South One, South Two, North One, North Two. I mean, there's like 6-7 leagues in.
So what, like, are you
Scotland.
Just are you just kind of an extra, just like, hey, Bob's in town, he wants to play, and they throw you a jersey and you're in?
Pretty much.
are you going to like the top of the totem pole of these teams? Or are you kind of playing where
like... No, it's my local team. Local team. I actually stopped playing it for probably 5-6 years.
Yeah. I bet you missed
I'm like 16-17, and it was funny because my first year on the European tour. Uh-huh. I was doing all right. I'd made 10 out of 11 cuts or something to start. And I was meant.
That's good.
I was in Morocco. I was meant to go to China. And I decided I'm not going to China. I'm going home. Wasn't enjoying it. Mm. I was like, I'm not really enjoying.
Back to your freshman year, man.
So I flew home and I went to my mum and dad and I'm like, really not enjoying it. I think I'm going to go and play shinty again. And my dad's like, good on you. That's. I like that. My mum's like, oh, but you need to watch your hands, this, your body, what happens if you get hit? And I'm like, it's part of life. I'm going back to play shinty. So it's funny, I went and trained. I think it was twice that week I trained. I played on the Saturday, a full match. I then went to the British Masters the next week, finished second.
Mm-hmm.
I've then flown home. I've then gone home again, trained, say, Tuesday, Thursday. Played a game on the Saturday, went to Denmark, finished second. And I was like, well, what's the problem here? This works. So I just kept doing it. And yeah, obviously I don't play it as much now, but I absolutely love it. If it paid, I'd play it. I'd be doing it for a living.
So how accurate are you hitting a shinty ball? Like what's a good range? Like if you're 20 yards away, can you pretty much get close to hitting a spot? Like do you have that much control?
It's difficult. Like
it is.
Because the cork around the, there's like two different parts of the cork that go across to keep the leather ball intact. And it's just, mm-hmm. sometimes, I mean, the pitches aren't always perfect. Sometimes you're playing in a bit of mud. And
hey, that's part of it, man. That's part of it.
Not complaining about mud balls when it's when you're swinging a shinty stick, but you can be. I think you can be reasonable if you're taking a penalty, like a penalty hit. I mean, you're probably, I think it's something like 20 yards out.
Okay,
it's UV the goalkeeper. I mean, I wouldn't miss a target. I wouldn't. I might get saved, but you, I wouldn't miss a target. I would say.
All right, I got something for you here, Bob. So I think you need to put, is it your shinty stick? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'll bring it. I'll take it out next year. How about that? I'll bring the shinty sticks.
Here's what I think you should do. I think you should throw it in the bag, and I think you need to bring a shinty ball and put it in the bag. And I know how much you hate drones. And if you can start firing shinty balls at these drones, I think problem solved here. Just take it out, throw the ball down, and start firing these balls at the drones. And then, hey, guess what? No more noise, and Bob's got a clear head.
Instead of me shouting and swearing that way.
can you imagine teeing up one of these shinty balls and just go whoosh and just take these things down?
I want to do that with a golf ball when they're flying about.
Oh man, you're like on the list of like four or five guys that just got the ears for that dang drone. That's like it drives you guys nuts.
I think it's just now once I hear it, I'm like, here it is again. And yeah, I'm a bit
some places you hear it worse than others. Like some golf courses are super quiet, some are a little bit more loud, and it's not quite as apparent.
I actually think the worst one I had was in Europe.
Oh yeah,
it was Abu Dhabi. And this thing, I mean, this thing would have picked you up by the shoulders and just, it would carry this. It was a monster.
Oh, man. I remember it was killing Rom on the first time in Live, man. He was losing his mind.
And I remember it, and it was a beautiful setting at Yas Links, and it's just floating around the water. But this thing's come, I'm hitting like a 15-foot putt, and I'm taking the practice stroke because I can hear it and I can see it kind of out the corner of my eye, and it's coming in. It's right down head high, and it's coming in. It's just getting louder and louder. I'm like, all I can think about is this drone, and I'm trying to hold this putt. And it was just like.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online, and suddenly I'm like, well, technically, this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cash back, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
It's like cutting the back of your hair. It's probably getting got close.
That's what it feels like.
So, hey, you just need to keep that in mind. Next time you get that drone coming on, just get that shinty club out and just whack one of those balls at it, man. I think that's the recipe.
That's the thought.
You know, I've seen you play a bunch of golf, Robert or Bob. I've seen you going back and forth between your names. I've been so impressed, not only just by like how you play, but just like you play with so much passion, right? Like you remind me so much of John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. These are guys that play towards their personalities. And I wondered kind of where you got it. And after hearing about this shinty game and just like how competitively tough you have to be to go 90 minutes and play that game, and I'm sure deal with a lot of different personalities, and I'm sure a lot of talking throughout that game, like that seems to be, you know, the personality you kind of carry to the golf course. Is that safe to say?
I would say so. I mean, I know I run hot, and I know.
Well, so do I. Like I was the same way. Like I run. Yeah. It's so hard to control your emotions.
I just think like all the way of my life growing up, like. I had a great childhood, and my mum and dad sacrificed everything for me or gave me a lot of opportunities. But I had to fight for everything I had. Like, not physically fight for it, but like if I wanted something, I had to go and graft for it. I had to, it wasn't given much easily. And playing shinty, playing football, like I played every sport I could. And yeah, I'm probably one of them guys that I wouldn't give up. And like if there was a tussle going on in the game, I'm probably right in the middle of it kind of thing. But I do think that it's funny because they always, obviously you get fines and you get this, that, and the next thing. Social media people are like, he's got to stop swearing. He's got to, like, see if you'd mic, see if I was mic'd up while having a conversation with my caddy Mike about the shot I'm about to hit. I'm probably going to swear in that conversation. Like, it's just, I'm Scottish.
It's just who you are. Like, it's your, you play towards your personality, which, like, the best mental coach I ever had said, like, be who you are and just do your best to try to manage, you know, the times where you get running too high. Yeah. And it's sometimes it's like easier said than done. Like, I was a buffoon at times on tour, man. Like, I got really frustrated very quickly, especially just with expectations and just, I'm just a competitor, man. Like, I played basketball growing up. So, you know, just like you on the shinty pitch, shinty pitch, is that what we call it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I just love to win. And I think when golf beats you up every single week, and I want to get, you know, kind of get this conversation going into what it's like being a professional golfer. Like this week you're staying in another Airbnb, and it's just, you know, the grind of every single day from week to week to week. And I know you're going back and forth now between your home in Scotland and in the States. And I want to ask you, just, you know, your time living in Florida and all the, how difficult it is to be a PGA Tour pro at times, you know, where are you the most happy in this game of golf? Is it being at home? Is it having success on the PGA Tour? How do you define happiness?
Obviously, playing good golf is a massive part of my life. Like, it's my job. It was my hobby and it became my job. And golf's a massive part, but I just love being at home.
Your homebody. Are you a mom's boy, or just like, you just like being at home?
Nah, we've just had a little one. So, like, it's nice. Just...
Congrats.
There's nothing better than being at home with people that care about you, people that don't expect anything from you, that don't just treat me as Bob from Oban, the small town. And you come out here and it's a circus. It's a traveling circus week. But I mean, I love it. As much as it was difficult when I was in Orlando, and I think it was more, the difficult thing wasn't about living in Orlando, it was more the fact that I'm not seeing the people that care about me the most, or that I care about the most enough. I think we realized pretty quickly that this probably isn't going to work. This probably isn't, or right now, this isn't the place that we're needing to be. And then I went home. I mean, I rented a house for, I think it was 8 months. And then after about four, we just kept AC running and just paid the bills and got out of there. It just wasn't right. But I'm never saying I'm never going to come back and live in the States with the family and just making life easier on travel and stuff. And I think when we had nothing at that point, we had nothing outside of golf in the US, in the States, in Orlando. Didn't really have any friends in Orlando. It was just a place that I felt like it was going to be easier to travel back and forward to the UK, back and forward to events. Like, it was a good hub. Kept my membership on at Isleworth just for training camps and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it just wasn't, at the time, it just wasn't the right fit.
I understand that.
Yeah, and then I see like Danny Willett, like I'm at the course the other day, and Danny's driving by with his family, his wife, his two kids, and it's like, well, yeah, he's got something outside of golf to be there, and kids go to school there, and would living in America be better for my golf? 100%. 100%. There's no doubt, but it's not where I'm at my happiest. It's not where all my friends and family are, so I'm probably not going to do it.
Yeah, it's not really where your soul is, right? Like when you when you get off that plane and you make your way up to Scotland, I imagine, first off, you're probably one of the few guys that has golf clubs in their trunk and has no desire to actually want to go play golf in Scotland. I'm sure that you're actually just want to go hang with friends and family, or every other dude who gets off the plane's got their clubs ear to ear, just ready to go play 36 holes a day. And you might be the only guy who's the opposite.
I must admit, when I go home, I don't normally touch the clubs. I played a little bit more there. I had 3 weeks off, so I played a bit more. But if I go home for a week off, I mean, I'm as well leaving the clubs with Hulka. Just take them. I'll see them in a week or two. I just love going home, and
I get that,
chilling out.
You know, iron sharpens iron, though, too. You've gotten better, no doubt, being on the PGA Tour, competing against the world's best. You got your European contingent. I'm sure you hang out a lot with the Shane Lowrys, the Rorys. And I know Tyrrell Hatton's left. I know you're a good buddy with him. But also, like, just some of the American guys, like top players, that, you know, Scottie Scheffler, you and him had a great battle. It's almost been a year since that BMW Championship where you two were, you know, battling it out. Over there, where were we? Castle Pines, was it?
Castle Pines.
Gosh, where were we last year? We were in Baltimore. we were in Baltimore, but I can't remember the name of the golf course. I remember you came over to me and you said something along the lines of like how hot it was. And I got my earplugs in.
Caves Valley.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. We're losing our minds over here. But man, what I want to ask you is, like, you know, you're one hell of a player. Like, you, I think on your good days, like, you can beat anybody in the world. But what are your takeaways when you go up against a guy like Scottie on a Sunday? You got a lead, but, and I've always wanted to ask somebody like you, because it's interesting, because Scottie feels like, if I was playing against him on a Sunday, that I feel like if I started making mistakes, I would know in the back of my head that he's not going to make mistakes. Is there added pressure going up against a player like that head to head, knowing that you feel like showing up that day, like he's going to give every single, bit of pressure on you throughout the whole day?
Yeah. I mean, I just think last year, Scottie Scheffler was, almost untouchable. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I say it to everyone. Scottie Scheffler last year was, I felt like he was bulletproof, to be honest with you. I was actually disappointed in myself at the event in the end. I didn't play emotionally the way that I should have. Obviously, really, one of my first times really being in, having a strong lead at one point, managing it well, hanging on.
It was gone quick, right? Like, it was, you had to reset.
I just didn't play with freedom on the Sunday. It was, the crowd was, everyone was against me. So it was like me and Mike and everyone wanting Scotty to win.
I'm sure for you.
Yeah. But there was only a few. There'd have been a few Scottish people there, but it was, but I understand that and I don't mind it. I was trying to blank everything out, like, try and make it right, tunnel vision, this is yours. But again, as you say, that's not me. I'm better off when I'm interacting. And like, I think people in America see me as this huffy guy that really doesn't like and doesn't enjoy life. And
yeah,
but see, if you get me away from the golf course and in the right environment, the right group of people, I mean,
we've seen the Ryder Cup bus videos.
I'm completely different than what a lot of people see me as, and probably the way I show on the golf course at times. Mm-hmm. But I just think I should have shown myself, been a bit more interactive with the crowd, and just try to enjoy it and not be so in my own little bubble. Like, embrace it. And I've learned a lot from that. But I mean, playing against Scottie Scheffler last year, I just felt like at some point he was going to catch you, and then it was a matter of if you can catch him again. And I almost did until he hit that chip shot in 17. I mean,
did it not feel like it took a year for that golf ball to get down to that cup? I was at the right edge of the green at the low point, and I was like, is this going to get to the hill? And then 10 feet out, I was like, this thing's going to go in the hole. It's a funnel.
Yeah, I probably hit that chip about 20 times in the practice round and you couldn't keep it on the green. And I mean, I thought I'd flagged my six iron. I thought it was perfect. Just goes over the green. He hits that chip shot and I thought, just left this 15 feet short, and it just kept going and going. And then once it got to about 6 feet, I'm like, this is in the hole.
And you're then, just yeah, shaking your head, man. Like you're almost just laughing. It's like, what?
Yeah, at that point, I mean, I was like, well, unless I chip this in, the tournament is over, unless he hits it in the water up 18. And then yeah. I was like, well, when I didn't chip it in, get up and down, and he hits the perfect tee shot up the last, I was like, well, tournament's over. Let's just finish second.
You know what? You've had two tough little breaks there. You know, you're coming down the stretch. I still can't believe how far that six iron flew on 17. Cause I thought you were in between six and five. You hit the six and it carries, you know, almost to the back yeah. of the green. So there's just some little adrenaline there. And then you got yeah. JJ making a 65 footer on you. It's like, oh, come on. It's like, I thought at least we're going to like sweat a 4.5 footer here, JJ.
That's what I was hoping for.
Because you know what that feeling's like. Because I read some quotes about just like how much pressure you were feeling at the US Open those last three holes and just trying to manage just what major championship pressure feels like.
Yeah, I've never felt like that. I have Ryder Cup, first tee in Rome. I never felt pressure like that. But that US Open was special.
Yeah,
and I was shaking in every part of my body, and Mike McCaddy was brilliant. He was like, well, this is what you practice for. And I thought I played three. Once I said that to him on the 16th tee, I played the three holes absolutely perfectly. And JJ just, from being way down at the start of his round to coming back and finishing the way he finished was like, if I'd hold that putt, I would have been going more ballistic than he did. When I hold that putt of the Scottish Open from 20 feet, just to win, it was to win the Scottish Open, like something yeah. that felt massive for me. If I hold a putt like that to win a major, you might not see me for a while.
I tell you what, I was going to ask you this in this interview is, you know, you've been a part of now two Ryder Cup winning teams, which is a goal of yours, is just to be on a Ryder Cup team. Now you've been a part of a home and an away winning Ryder Cup team with a great group of guys, so basically the same team 2 years in a row. You've won a Scottish Open, which is, I would call it your major championship outside of the majors. If you win a major championship, you know, over the next 5 years, could you walk away from this game just being happy with what you've accomplished and go back home to Scotland, call it a day?
100%. Honestly, I say that to so many people now, that if I win a major championship and something happens and I go, you know what, I don't want to play this game again, I would have absolutely completed my life, my professional golf goals, or even... not even goals, dreams. I don't really set goals. It's just like, I dreamed of playing in a Scottish Open. And then once I got in a Scottish Open, I dreamed of winning a Scottish Open. And like, I dream of things. And the last thing that's a dream that I've not achieved is a major championship. And
you've been close.
I mean, even if I don't win another golf tournament from now till the end, I would say I've done all right, and I've achieved almost everything that I've set out and dreamed of, and I'd be reasonably satisfied with this. But we're all golfers, we're always wanting that. It doesn't matter how good you are. Like last year, Scotty Scheffler would have been trying to get better. How do you get better? I know I'm standing in my position. I know, well, Scottie Scheffler is the top. He's statistically the best player on the planet. So I can get better, but he is like, he's a top. So can you get better? But for me, it's like, just let's keep getting better bit by bit. And it goes and it waves. Like this year, my driving and putting's been brilliant. My iron play's been poor. My chipping's been okay. And it's like, well, let's just get better at that area, keep these all the same, and you're just going to keep getting closer and closer to that goal, and you just never know. I mean, watching a good mate of mine, Foxy, win the Open, I mean, just got to get it. When you're not like the top three or four in the world, it feels like the pitch up at every major championship, and one of them's going to be in with a chance, or mm-hmm. a few of them are going to be in with a chance. The rest of us, it's like, let's hope that it's that week that you hit form and it's your week. And
it's enough. It's a shame it's we enough. Only have four of them, man.
Yeah.
It's
a shame we're done so already.
No. Well, we're already waiting until the Masters next year. And I must say, I'd say you've done quite well to this point when it comes to what you've done and accomplished in your career. And Charlie, bring you in here. And I guess the thing I want to tee up before I get to your questions here, Charlie, is that I'm not sure if McNeese State had like a fraternity. If they did, I think it'd be awesome. And I'd love to see that Bob was in a fraternity, but I think your professional golf fraternity's got to be like this Ryder Cup team, man. Like, it's basically been the same team a couple years in a row now, or I should say like over a course of 4 years, the same, it seems like, support staff. Like, how close are you not only with these guys during like these weeks, but like outside, like, of the Ryder Cup, like, how much time have you spent with these players on the road, just like getting dinners, you know, whether sharing houses? Like, I imagine like they're almost family at this point.
Yeah, I've shared with Shane actually in Memphis last year. Like, you're gonna players' lounge, and if someone, one of the European guys, is sitting there, you'll go and sit with them. Very rarely will you sit on your own. Or they'll come over and sit with you if you are sitting on your own. But no, them two Ryder Cups, or the two, pretty much the build up to both of them as well, it's just been, it's incredible. I never thought I would ever be in the same room as Rory McIlroy, like a guy that you've looked up to. But them weeks, or them leading up to them weeks, once you know you're in the team, and you know he's in the team, and these guys will do anything for you. Mm-hmm. You can ask any question. Them weeks, you can ask any questions. Anything goes. The staff, like, nothing. I feel like that's one of the best things about European team, is from the stats guys, from Luke, from the players to the behind the scenes staff, there is no stone that isn't turned. I mean, everything is, it's just such fine details. Mm-hmm. Like, even simple things, like, we're in the room in New York, and there's quite a lot of light coming in from underneath the door. So it's making the room a little bit bright. Well, not a problem. We'll just go and buy however many, 30, like, things to put underneath the door, like almost like towels. I mean, simple thing would be put towels under, but now they go and purchase that, and just, it's there and everyone's doing it. And I mean, actually, I had a funny story. I blew a kiss. I hold a putt from like 6 feet in one of the holes. The guy's shouting abuse at me, and I've blown a kiss back. And this was on the Saturday. And Saturday night, my room phone's going, and I'm like, who's phoning me at this time? It's like 9, 10 o'clock. Answer it. It's the hotel. Oh, your dad's trying to get in touch with you. Checked my phone. I'm like, this isn't my dad on the other side of this phone. Who is this? So I went, hello, who is it? And he's silent. I went, hello. And the guy goes, who the F were you blowing kisses to on the whatever hole? He goes, you'll not be blowing kisses tomorrow. And I just went, F you, and put the phone back down. I'm like, messaging all the boys, you better pull out your phones because people are phoning now. And yeah, it was good fun.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cashback, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Is this shampoo and conditioner as good as they say it is, Bob? I mean, that there's a lot of chatter about that.
Could it lower my handicap by one or two? Because like Charlie's thinking like maybe that's the difference.
It's not my preferred option, but
big head and shoulders guy.
It was decent. Yeah, like just gotta get the sun cream out from the back of the head.
My goodness.
Well, this is a perfect segue of sorts before we get to the questions that I want to ask you, Bob, because there is something happening here about these European Ryder Cuppers that go into school in the South. Of course, you know, you went to McNeese State. Graham McDowell played for Smiley's granddad at University of Alabama, Birmingham. And I think one of my greatest golf what-ifs that I'd all like for us to kind of imagine here and think about how it could play out is, what happens if Rory McIlroy follows through on his letter of commitment to East Tennessee State University? What is Rory in Johnson City, Tennessee like?
I mean, I don't know what... I mean, I didn't even know he'd committed to that, but
yeah,
I had a few. I think Adrian Moronk went to East Tennessee. I mean, it was a decent school, wasn't it? It was
kind of a pipe, international pipeline. You know, there was just certain schools that just, you know, kept recruiting to a certain
area,
whether it was a nationality. Like my granddad recruited a bunch of dudes from Ireland because the Graham McDowell thing just hit, and so now all these Irish kids are showing up. And he was just lucky. He was actually calling, trying to get somebody else, and the person on the other line said, "Well, I got this other guy named Graham McDowell. Do you want to see if he's any good?" And he's like, "Sure, we'll take him." And next thing you know, he's a
major winner.
There is a lot of Scottish guys now going over. I mean, there has been for years, and I would encourage them. Like, I get ask every now and again from young guys, and I'm like, go and play in the States, go and play college golf. And if you're dedicated enough, yeah, you can have your fun and do the stuff that you need to do, and or that every college kid does, but just be dedicated to the game within certain times of the year. And I just think you can't not improve coming from Scotland. I mean, West Coast of Scotland in December is not a pretty place. It is dull, it's grim. And yeah, I remember coming home from the States, and it was like the 21st of December, and I was practicing in shorts. And I'm like, this is why I done it. I'm not going somewhere cold. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go somewhere that I can practice all year round. And yeah, I'd encourage everyone to do it from Scotland.
All right, here's where we got to go next, Bob. It is, we know you just welcome, his name is pronounced Finlay, right? Or is it Finlay?
Yeah,
Finlay. So congrats to you and Shannon on welcoming a child. Smiley and I are both, we're dads of two young kids. And by the way, Smiley, I have to sidebar with you later, because somehow your children passed the fever bug through our record last night. I got a text on the 13th hole today from my wife. No. I'm on day one of like a golf getaway. Hey, I think both kids have the fever. Oh, fantastic. I'm sure I'll hear about that the rest of the time I'm out here. But okay, so Finlay's arrived in January, right? And so, and I've also read that your sister has three little ones as well. And so the two kind of questions I want to unpack here with you is, 8 months in with your son, your favorite stuff to do with him, and then what does he have to look forward to? Uncle Bobby's favorite activities with his nieces.
Oh, well, yeah, I just, like, I phoned him this morning, and he's now learning how to, he's now seeing you and interacting, and he just woke up from a nap, and I mean, doing stupid stuff on the phone, and he's literally laughed at me for 10 minutes, and I was like, right, well, that's good enough for me. He's not going to do anything better than that for the day, so... yeah, it's just great to see. Like, he struggled at the start with colic reflux, and Shannon was struggling with it, and I was away on the road, and I just was like, I shouldn't be here. I should be at home helping out. And now you're seeing him progress and become, just grow up. And yeah, it's great fun.
Did he get the crawling?
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah. He's only 6.5 months now.
Oh, six and a half. Okay.
It's he was right at the end of January. And yeah, it's pretty cool. We're learning as we go, but my nieces, favourite thing to do with my nieces, probably go take them a wander on the beach right outside my apartment back home and go and get an ice cream. And I'm like the guy that fills them with sugar and crap and passes them back to my sister.
There you go. Hey, enjoy.
Hey, now you're
good luck with bedtime.
Charlie, he's gonna cut that out now once he realizes what kids are like on sugar and not on sugar. It's like, okay, I put you guys in a bad spot, parents.
It's funny, they've said to me, I've taught them a few things I probably shouldn't have taught them. As you can probably imagine coming from me, not so much my swearing, but yeah, maybe the thing at Augusta might... they might know how to do that kind of stuff. So, I mean, my sister's man, he says, I'm going to get you back twice as bad.
do you feel like it's added any sort of perspective, you know, to the way that you know, competition's framed or just emotions on the golf course is framed? Like, I feel like we've seen guys that have become dads, and even, you know, and my very insignificant golf world playing club tournaments, you get out there and you're like, this really isn't that big of a deal. And the most joy that I experience is having my kids out there with me. You know, how much do you feel like your mentality has changed because of you being a father now?
I don't know if it's changed much, but it's just, I think it's when you come off the course, it's probably quicker that, especially just now when, difficult with time change, but like the Open and the Scottish Open, like if I have a bad day, I come in, it's like, well, here's a wee man, go and look after him. And I'm like, I've just shot 5 over par here at the Open. Like, I want to go and sit in my room for a little minute, but it's like, no, I think that's the biggest thing you're quicker at getting probably over things, not so much on the golf course, but when it's finished, because you've got to go and be dad. You can't just be that huffy little Scottish guy that's going to sit in his room. So I wouldn't say it's changed on the golf course, but off the golf course, it's a lot easier.
A couple more for you here before we close this thing out. The first one is, as Americans, we plan these trips overseas. You know, we get like the services, which are all great. You know, the Hidden Links, and all, there are a number of them that are really good at, you know, setting up trips. But what I want to know from you is your top three, like, deep cut Scottish links, the one we don't know about. Put us on something that's a little bit unique, that you love, that you really enjoy, that we can kind of dig into a little bit, maybe explore on our next trip over.
One of them would be Dynavity on down Big Campbelltown.
Can you spell that?
I'm gonna start writing
no
these down.
Chance. Right, yeah, yeah. Start, okay, spell right. That for us.
D.
I told you I wasn't good. I told you I wasn't good at school.
Dynavity. I'm gonna just sound that out on Google and see if something spits out.
D-A-N.
D-A-N. Okay.
A-V-A-R-T-Y.
Okay, something like that will pop up.
We'll Google it. It's we'll close. Figure it out.
Dynavity.
Yeah. Okay. The first like four holes, there's cows and... yeah. There's electric fences on around the greens and... Yeah.
Is it a good layout? What's the deal? Just old school?
Like, it's all right. It's just an old school, like... It's just something you would see them, people going and playing with old, like, hickory clubs and going, yeah, this was actually playable with hickory clubs.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas now if you go and play, you go and play, like, I don't know, Royal Birkdale now with hickory clubs, it's unplayable. You can't play it. But, like, Dynavity with hickory clubs would still be playable.
Dynavity, so it's D-U.
Dynavity, yes.
Dynavity.
Wow. Wow. And Kintyre.
You got it.
Okay. I'm sitting here looking at the golf course.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous. Okay.
God, it's beautiful. It's
so that one. But people don't, but this is where, like, even if you go north, like if you go, I don't know if you ever heard of Brora.
No.
Oh, I have Broda or
Something like that. And then, so like you go up north and these places are just like all the American, they come over and they go, oh, we're going to go and play Carnoustie, St. Andrews, all these, like, yeah, they're brilliant. But like, there's so many beautiful places that, I mean, even I've never been to Broda, but there's so many people that I speak to and go, you need to go and play these places. And but it's so far. Wow. When I go home, I don't want to go. And
look at this place.
Scottish Highlands. Yeah. Broda. This looks amazing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Dunaverty. Okay.
No, he's right on, like, Dunaverty. There's cows and they're just their pictures that they have.
Yeah, I think Broda might be the same. I think Broda's
the
same.
Yeah,
I think
there's a picture. The third picture is a cow.
It's electric fenced.
Yeah, this needs to be a YouTube project, Smiley. We need to find like multiple courses that have cows on them and do like a little cow, little nature and golf retreat in Scotland. I love it.
Man, this looks so sweet. Yeah.
And then the third one. I don't know. Third one. I mean, what ones do I love? I mean, Macrahanish Old Course.
Oh, I've heard that was one that, that was the one, Charlie, that Brandon was talking about.
Yes.
That like for, it's like a really hard first tee shot.
First tee shot's over the beach.
Yeah. Okay. That's the same one. Yeah. That's the same one. Yeah. It's like over there to the left. Like there's room, right. But like,
it was rated the best opening tee shot somewhere, and someone that rates that stuff. But it's beautiful.
I'm looking at the tee shot. That's fantastic.
It's a good list. That's a really good list. Thank you for that.
There we go. So Dunaverty, Broda, Macrahanish Old.
Dunaverty and Macrahanish Old are within 20 minutes.
Oh, perfect. Knock it out in one day.
Love
Easy.
It. Okay, here's the last one I got for you, Bob, is that we just had a World Cup. It's transfer silly season. I don't know how much you are into the football, but we kind of have to ask. Okay, fantastic. All right. So I'm kind of like via playing FIFA growing up. I'm a little bit of a Hearts guy. All right. I don't know. Are you Celtic, Rangers? Is there another Scottish Premiership club? Where do your affiliations lie?
Nah, Scottish football. I don't really worry about it. There's a lot of politics within it. Obviously, your religion. Religion get involved, and I don't think it's as involved now, but I try not. I don't have a team in Scotland. I try and stay away from it. I've never been, I've been to games, but since I've got older, I've just like stayed out of it. I see too much hassle within, from even my friends on friends. It's like, what are you doing, boys? It's a game of football. But I'm a Man U fan.
Oh, okay.
Man United. But I just love watching football. Like, If I'm off at home and I'm not doing anything on a Saturday or probably a Sunday where there's more games, I mean, I could sit on the couch from 11 o'clock in the morning, watch the build-up for the 12 o'clock game, and I couldn't get off the couch until after the 5 o'clock game. Like, I could be on that couch just watching football all day.
Wow.
I've got my poor kids watching Tottenham, which barely survived a relegation scare last year. How are you feeling? I mean, Michael Carrick, you got some good incomings. It's looking like a strong squad for United this year.
I was actually saying that to him. I seen a video there where there's a couple of new signings playing in the friendly. And I was Simon, my coach, he's a big Liverpool fan. And he's like, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Man United this year because I think they might do well. I mean, I hope they do well, but you just never know. Yeah. Just never know. I mean, they could be fighting relegation as well.
It's going to be a big turnover year. Liverpool, new manager at Liverpool, new manager at City. I think United's going to make how about a United and Tottenham title race? That's what we need for both of us.
I think Tottenham will do all right. I think Tottenham will be okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, got a good Scotsman, Andy Robertson, at left back now, so.
Good experience in there for the squad. Yeah, very good. All right. Well, that's what I got for our friend, I say this with the utmost respect, Bobby Mac and Cheese. I also want to say it on the show.
Yeah,
because,
totally.
It's a loving and affectionate nickname.
It's what we say on the show. Yeah. It's like
what we say on the show. It's of deep
affection.
We're not
going to not go
you.
Out of character when we're on here on the show. Bob, only thing that I wanted to ask you, last question I had for you, this was another piece of information that came from Mr. Sepp Straka. He's like, you got to ask him about his feelings about private aviation. And what he said to me was that one, I guess this was like 3 or 4 years ago, I guess Matt Fitzpatrick was getting a group together to fly from either the Open to somewhere. And Matt's like, hey, Bob, got a seat on the plane. Like, you don't have to do anything. Just show up. And you're like, I'm good. And everybody's like, what do you mean you're good? It's like, no, I'll see you guys there. And I guess as the story goes, like, you're not into it. Like, talk to me about private aviation.
Big Ryanair guy.
I've got better. I've got better
kids
now.
Will,
I think
kids will get you better, right? Getting somewhere faster.
100%. That's what's happened. That's what happens. I've ended up. I'm flying it more now, just for the sheer fact of the amount of stuff that we travel with the wee man, and
yep.
I just can't be bothered going through airports with 4 bags and just make life easier when we're on the road. But yeah, if I don't have to, I won't do it. I would far rather sit business class or first class and an American or stuff like that. And yeah, just
anxious flyer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Better turbulence than I'm hanging on. So,
all right, buddy, man, this has been a great combo. Good luck in Memphis this week. I'll see you at BMW next week. But Bobby Mac and Cheese, we got the McNeese State Cowboy hearing all about the family man and being a dad. Charlie, this was a good one. I think a lot of people are gonna love this combo.
Yeah, good luck to the wee man. Looking forward to seeing more of him.
All right, Bob.
Thanks
see
for
you,
having us, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...